This is episode 2 of ADD Technology and Me, recorded in December 2009. Approximate running time of this episode is 18 minutes 20 seconds. Special thanks to our executive producer, Amanda Quark.
Highlighting the best of gadgets, software, and technology news, this is ADD Technology and Me. And now, your host, Anthony.
Hey, I am Anthony, and welcome to episode 2 of ADD Technology and Me. Today we're going to talk a little bit about how to choose a smartphone. Now, during the last episode, you heard me talk about a program called Got2 that actually helped you out with using a task manager that's actually designed for the BlackBerry smartphone and some of the features that are inherent with the BlackBerry smartphone. Well, now I'm going to talk about how to choose a smartphone. Now, I believe that smartphones can actually help people with ADD and ADHD to help manage their lives. Now, the first thing I'm going to talk about is the operating system. Now, historically, U.S. smartphone users have chosen largely between four different operating systems: BlackBerry, Palm, Symbian, and Windows Mobile. Now, just about 3 years ago, Apple joined in the fray with its iPhone, and some people say that the iPhone's status as a smartphone is questionable. Now, I don't believe that. I believe that the Apple is actually a multimedia PC in your pocket. Now, I personally chose the BlackBerry. I like the way it integrates with the computer, the way that you can get different applications for it without having to go through some type of check process and jump a whole bunch of hurdles. Now, despite the iPhone's surge since its debut, Research Network ChangeWave reports that RIM's BlackBerry remains the smartphone market leader. Now, according to J.D. Power and Associates, BlackBerry devices are also tops in customer satisfaction among business users. Now, nevertheless, the best OS for you depends on your needs. Now, if you have a corporate connection, if being integrated with the office is a key consideration, the gold standard is BlackBerry. Now, Palm, Symbian, and Windows Mobile OSs all provide either native or add-on support for multiple corporate email servers, including BlackBerry. BlackBerry supports Microsoft Exchange, but only through a specialized server. Now, Palm and Symbian, once serious players in the U.S. market, are on a downward slide. Now, Palm's market share was down to just under 10% in 2007. Symbian's was 5%. Sprint Centro kind of bucked the trend for Palm for a little bit. The Palm company says it sold 30,000 units for several weeks after introducing the Centro. Now, that doesn't mean these OSs are no good. However, if folks aren't buying Palm and Symbian smartphones, carriers may stop offering them. If that happens, users of existing devices may find that software titles, technical support, and system upgrades will become scarce. Now, if you're a devoted Microsoft user, not only Windows, but Office, Internet Explorer, and other Microsoft products, you may be most comfortable using a Windows Mobile device. Now, many companies make smartphone software compatible with Windows file formats and products if you prefer a different OS. Now, smartphones come in all shapes and sizes, so you'll want to hold a specific model in your hand to see what feels right. Beyond the sheer size of a smartphone, there are several considerations. Does the phone have a standard QWERTY keyboard for text messaging and email, or is it a numeric keypad? Some phones, like Verizon's Samsung SCH i760, have both. When comparing keyboards and keypads, pay attention to the response when you press the keys. Does the phone have a touch screen? If so, is it stylus or finger-driven, or can you use either? What about storage space for programs and data? How much built-in storage does the phone have? Does it accept media cards? Is the display well-lit and easy to read? Some smartphone manufacturers tout their zippy processors and big memory stores, but numbers can be deceiving. A powerful smartphone with too many features or an inefficient OS may still be slow. More important is the amount of free memory, often called user memory or file-free, to run up applications. Also, look for the presence of a flash media slot for external storage, preferably for data and programs. Although with the BlackBerry, that's usually just for databases and media. Now, when you're looking at networks, the United States has two dominant mobile networks, GSM, also called Global System for Mobile Communications, and CDMA, Code Division Multiple Access. Each network occupies a different bandwidth and has a few important design differences. GSM uses removable SIM cards, subscriber identity module chips, to store user data and carrier identification. In most cases, you can transfer the SIM card from one phone to another if you upgrade, or you can replace the SIM card with a new one if you change carriers or travel overseas. However, you may lose access to some features if you do this. Now, CDMA phones are hard-coded by the carrier and have to be reset before you can use them with another provider. Verizon and Sprint have discussed opening their phones or using an equivalent of the SIM card, but so far they haven't done that. Now, GSM is more prevalent overseas, especially in Europe. So tri-band or quad-band GSM phones work well for most international travels. CDMA carriers, Verizon and Sprint, also now offer what they refer to as world phones, such as the BlackBerry 8830, which work on CDMA networks in the United States and GSM networks overseas. GSM carriers like T-Mobile claim to have the largest international GSM network. Now, CDMA has traditionally had better U.S. voice coverage, especially in rural areas. Verizon's always touting its excellent coverage. GSM carrier AT&T has been hot on Verizon's trail, and the company makes a similar claim. For data, email and internet, for example, CDMA carriers have been a step ahead of those running on GSM. That's changing, though. AT&T, Sprint, and Verizon offer 3G or third generation networks. Sprint and Verizon offer EVDO, Evolution Data Optimized, networks with typical download speeds of 400 kbps to 1 mbps and bursts of 2 mbps. AT&T's HSDPA high-speed downlink packet access networks offer comparable typical speeds. Now, T-Mobile is out in the cold. It's got a slower edge network, about 160 to 200 kbps. Now, edge is enhanced data for GSM Evolution, but says it will move to 3G sometime soon. However, not all carriers have high-speed service in all places, and connection speeds can be much lower in areas without 3G coverage. Also, not all phones support 3G, so shop carefully. Now, virtually all smartphones offer advanced contact, appointment, and email handling. Beyond that, the range of included software varies. This is particularly true with Windows mobile phones, which are available in two editions, standard and professional. Now, standard edition phones are generally smaller and less functional. For example, you can read Office and Adobe PDF documents with the standard edition smartphone, but you won't be able to edit or create these types of files. Now, professional edition smartphones are larger and heavier, but they offer the more full-featured versions of Mobile Office and provide touchscreen capability. Fortunately, it's easy to expand your phone's functionality through add-on software. You'll find literally tens of thousands of third-party programs for Windows Mobile OS and tens of thousands of titles for BlackBerry. Now, Apple, they have a very large app store. It's available directly from the phone, and from what I've seen, it's a great way of searching for an app. Like their advertisements say, there's an app for that. Now, according to a March 2008 report from mobile media measurement firm M-Metrix, barely half of smartphone users access news and information over the internet from their devices, and only 37% perform searches. So if you plan to use the internet sparingly, if at all, it shouldn't figure into your choice of a smartphone. Now, hardcore surfers, on the other hand, should choose their devices carefully. Think of web page rendering like packing your suitcase neatly. It takes longer if the traveler or browser is not efficient and the suitcase or display is too small. Consider a large screen device that supports 3G, then install a good HTML browser like Opera Mobile. It works with Symbian, Windows, and BlackBerry phones. Large screen 3G Windows mobile phones include the AT&T Tilt, the HTC Touch, the Android. Also, some BlackBerry phones have large screens and offer 3G. In addition to cellular, mobile phones use a variety of technologies to engage in wireless data transfer, including Bluetooth, some have used infrared, and Wi-Fi. Now, I won't go into detail here because this issue really touches on different technologies. However, I have two general suggestions. First, Bluetooth is ubiquitous in smartphones, but profile support varies widely. Some phones support only wireless headphones, while others support printing, data syncing, and so on. Check the profiles your phone includes before you make your purchase. Now, second, Wi-Fi is becoming increasingly available in phones for data access at Wi-Fi hotspots. However, only a handful of phones and one U.S. carrier, T-Mobile's Hotspot at Home service, offer the ability to make calls over Wi-Fi. However, that is also changing. There are a lot of different programs, both for BlackBerry, Windows, and Apple, which allow you to use Skype, which is basically a voice over IP technology. Now, smartphones vary widely in price, starting with a budget phone, such as the Centro, which is actually still available in some places, and heading into the stratosphere, $1 million or more, and I'm not kidding about that, for diamond-encrusted special edition phones. As with so many gadgets, you get what you pay for. If you want something that approximates a laptop, you'll need the power and size of a Windows Mobile professional phone, a BlackBerry, or the new iPhone 3G or 3GS. Now, the BlackBerry Curve, with its UMA, T-Mobile only, Wi-Fi, workhorse productivity tools, camera, and GPS is probably the most well-rounded smartphone available at present. Nevertheless, other smartphones, such as the Tilt SCH i760, are also top performers. No matter what you decide, I suggest that you test your new phone extensively during the trial period after you make a purchase. And don't assume that you must sign with one of the big four carriers. Small or regional carriers, such as Boost, Alltel, Cricket, work well for some smartphone users. See what's available in your area. Now, you need to put your smartphone through its paces once you get it in your hot little hands. You may spend more time with your smartphone than you do your significant other, so make sure it's a beneficial pairing by testing your phone during the first few days you own it. Do not be afraid to exchange your smartphone for another model during the trial if you aren't satisfied. Now, can you hang? How's the battery life, both in use and on standby and during real-world use? Do you navigate? Does the phone offer GPS services? Are they easy to use? Do they just map you from point A to point B, or do they provide real-time traffic updates or turn-by-turn navigation? How smart are you? Most smartphones let you view a variety of documents, and some let you edit those documents. Does your phone let you view or edit documents? Can you make phone calls or navigate to websites by clicking information in emails or text messages? How easy is it to move data from one source, such as email, to another, such as a text message? Are you entertaining? A number of smartphones have cameras, media players, and other entertainment features, but quality and ease of use varies from model to model. The Nokia N95, for example, has a 5-megapixel camera with Carl Zeiss optics. Are you a pleasant companion? Is the keyboard style and spacing of the smartphone right for you? Do calls sound clear? Is connecting to Bluetooth or Wi-Fi easy? There are also a few questions you need to ask your carrier. Before you sign that contract, you'll want to ask a potential carrier, such as AT&T, about rollover minutes. As of right now, AT&T is the only carrier that offers this feature. Now, can we take this slow? How long do you have to try out the phone and service and return it without penalty? For what period will the carrier replace the phone if it malfunctions before you have to pay for a replacement? What are the penalties if you choose to cancel a contract? Do those penalties diminish the closer you are to the end of the contract? When can I upgrade? Let's face it, you've got a great smartphone in your hands. You like it. It works great for you. It's cutting-edge technology. Next year, not so much. Now, will you qualify for a phone upgrade? If an upgrade requires a contract extension, will it start at the end of the current contract or on the day you sign the new one? How do you measure time? When do free service periods, such as nights and weekends, begin and end? How do you measure call length? Some carriers round up to the next minute or fraction, while others measure exact times. What does unlimited mean? This is a big one. Some carriers put restrictions on the term unlimited for voice and data plans. For example, some limit super high bandwidth activities, such as video downloads, and will not allow them in an unlimited data plan. Do we have a future? What is the company's plan for future service improvements and feature upgrades? It can be tough to get answers on this one, but sometimes representatives will tell you things unofficially. Now, if features you want are just around the bend with one carrier and years away with another, that might affect your decision on a particular phone. Now, this is just a guide on finding a smartphone that is right for you. Now, as I stated before, I believe that smartphones are one of the key elements to managing ADD/ADHD in a particular person's life. I swear by my BlackBerry, I'm never without it, and I'm trying to teach my daughter, who is also ADHD, how to use her phone, keep it with her, and use it to help manage her life as well. Now, hopefully, this little guide will help you if you are ADD/ADHD, or parents of children with ADD/ADHD, to choose a smartphone that's right for them. Now, remember, parents, just because your child may seem a little too young for a smartphone doesn't necessarily mean that that's true. Now, my daughter, who has ADHD, has a smartphone, and she's 12 years old. I also have a 9-year-old who has a BlackBerry as well. So until next episode, I am Anthony. Stay healthy. Stay happy.
This has been a production of ADD Technology and Me, copyright 2009. Listeners are free to use this podcast in any non-commercial endeavor, so long as credit is provided to ADD Technology and Me. ATM is funded by private donation. Bandwidth provided by podbean.com.